This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Really looking forward to the hockey game.
It's all about the hockey. Let's do the hockey.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
That is must watch.
Lots of fun hockey going on.
And I think that I want to say,
how you gonna do that hockey?
Go USA, USA.
From down there on the ice, who do you think really made a difference in the first period?
Definitely the hockey players, Chrissy.
Now, Laz, I want to talk about this Ranger offense.
You should do that.
Goes right into play-by-play.
Getting back into full season mode.
Quick, let's put some sound effects together.
Marner looks tired. Oh, he looks tired. Oh, he's got the puck. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Oh, he scored. Oh, he won.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I got to know, in the next period, how you going to do that hockey?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, yes, indeed. They're going to be doing some hockey on Thursday night in Boston. Should be a lot of fisticuffs. If you got an extra 9 minutes, there'll be some fighting. That'll be fun.
Morning, Molly. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, Thursday night is what it's all about now, I suppose, after last night's disappointing loss for the Team USA. Guess I'm not supposed to be too disappointed, though.
Well, they'd already
told that
was,
didn't really matter. That game didn't really matter.
Yeah. You think they lost momentum in the tournament?
Yeah, I do.
I think they lost players.
I've got thoughts about last night. I didn't like it. I know that it didn't matter. But I think we spent like 48 hours celebrating how hockey was different and this international tournament mattered and look how different it is than the NBA. And then they go into last night against Sweden, and they're resting players, and I get it.
Wow.
Austin Matthews with a late scratch, and the Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk in a nice suit, nice appearance on TNT. And then they lose. They score 35 seconds into the game. They don't score again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because they still are on track to play Canada, and that's okay. I thought everything mattered when you're talking about hockey. Is that a loss I'm supposed to just shrug off?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to shrug it off. I think everyone shrugs it off. I wouldn't get too worked up about it. I would say let's hope they're in, you know, full Tkachuk mode come Thursday night, without a doubt. It was upsetting to see. And it didn't look like it was kind of an injury moment, but, man, he did look hurt. So that's
Brady
not
Tkachuk.
Good. Yeah, Brady.
Brady Tkachuk was sliding into the goal.
Yeah,
and then – so he was a little bit banged up. Hmm. You had Austin Matthews, who was banged up, didn't play. They missed him. They were down to 10 forwards at one point. It was like a youth hockey tournament where you had to run three lines. And
well, and that was worrisome because you don't want to overuse everybody. You know what I mean? Like, because the benefit of having done well early in the tournament and having already clinched your spot in the final was that you didn't have to, you know, overuse anybody. And then here you are where you're kind of without players.
Yeah, it's kind of convenient.
A little bit disconcerting.
It's a little disconcerting only because we had identified this as hockey, the sport where you don't worry so much about this was a team and this was a win. And now basically Canada and Team USA going into the same final with one loss apiece because Canada took care of business earlier in the day.
Barely.
As the U.S. struggles to score points because you take out Austin Matthews, and I know that compromises your offense. You take out Matthew Tkachuk, same deal. I did find myself wondering last night, I know this is maybe a Chicago-centric viewpoint, but boy, couldn't this team have used Patrick Kane? Couldn't this team have used the most dynamic Team USA player maybe ever? The best American-born player ever?
Was he...
He was dismissed. When they put the rosters together, he wasn't having a very good season. The idea was dismissed. He was never on the team and dismissed.
Right, that's what...
He was never really considered as a guy to add. I know he's 35, 36 years old, but he got hot. He's playing pretty well. And I would think that out of respect for who he is to Team USA and... hockey in this country, that it would have been a guy you could have used in some capacity.
I'm a little bit appalled that you said that you actually compared it to the NBA All-Star game. That was a disaster.
Oh, I'm not comparing it. I'm saying that when you have
saying it was so much better.
Saturday night's exhibition. Uh-huh. This is an international competition that basically has been referred to as this year's version of hockey's All-Star game, because they're talking about they don't have an All-Star game. This is in place of it, and you saw the intensity level reach Olympic-like proportions, and then a day
later there were gloves dropped.
Yeah,
doesn't happen in an All-Star game.
No, and then there were hugs exchanged at the NBA All-Star game. Okay, that was as soft as it gets.
That was as soft as it gets.
So I'm just saying, after a day of basically celebrating how much different hockey is, then we see the load management approach taken to the U.S.-Sweden game. Fair?
Yeah, I think it's – I don't think that's fair. Okay. I think that I agree with the idea that when Brady Tkachuk went down – and that was early, it made you kind of question, uh-oh, now they got to worry about that. And I think they did. But I think that the best thing about Team USA, as opposed to every team in the tournament, is their defense. Not just the goalie, but their defenders. They do a really good job. I was genuinely surprised when they gave up two goals and then that held up. I was just surprised,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think I was as disappointed. I was very pleased that Canada won because I wanted the rematch. I did want to see that again.
Yeah, I think
only this time in America.
But I'm entitled to the disappointment of having heard for 2 days how much hockey makes these moments matter, because it's not just, you know, an exhibition. They treat it seriously. The intensity is high, and then they lose a game they should have won. And suddenly it doesn't matter because that's the way we're going to rationalize it. That's all.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed having hockey on.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Last night. There wasn't much going on. It was fun.
No, nothing else going on.
No.
Really nothing else.
No.
College basketball. Cooper Flagg scored 17 points. Get that in the update?
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg, 17 points.
Well, there you go. That's pretty.
No, David, I mentioned the state school that's playing against Wisconsin without one of their starting five.
That's a bad injury.
It's
a bad injury. I'm just kidding you, Dustin. Cooper Flagg is somebody we're paying attention to. We need to start to chronicle his progress.
Hashtag capture the flag.
There we go. But yeah, I enjoyed the game, and I was disappointed in the game.
The look he gave you.
I know.
Was priceless.
That was
he didn't enjoy that.
It's like I'm back in grade school, about ready to serve another detention for rolling my eyes.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of tweak him a little bit. Yeah, I didn't like that game. One goal. You got to score more than that. I don't care who's hurt, who's not. You got to score more than one goal. And the longer it went on, when they're searching for offense and to get something going, the longer I wondered. I even texted a couple people like, tell me again why Patrick Kane was overlooked. Tell me again when they put these rosters together. Because if you look and you understand and realize, he is to Team USA hockey what Sidney Crosby is to Team Canada in terms of being a fixture, a guy who's always been there and has all kinds of longevity.
I thought it was super cool that Sid the Kid had won like 25 straight games up until the USA, USA,
until
USA.
Until Saturday night.
Say it three times, beat them.
Yeah. Well, that shows you the kind of supremacy that they have enjoyed. And that's what came to an end, so I thought. Now I'm not so sure about Thursday night.
Really?
I'm not so sure about Thursday night. Also, well,
you may be.
Vegas isn't either. I mean, the very slight favorite.
The
USA.
One thing that we've also overlooked in this celebration of U.S. hockey and what happened Saturday night is that Canada played without Cale Makar. They played without one of the best defensemen in the league, in the world.
Can he play goalie?
He can help that goalie look better. He's a great player that didn't play. Now, if he's coming back, then it's a different game. Imagine taking, well, this saw it last night. You take a key cog out of any team, one of the best players, and you're going to notice that absence. And Canada did. So, I don't know. Thursday night, it's going to be great. It's going to be on home ice in Boston, so that will help. It'd be intense as it was Saturday night. I felt I don't have a great feeling yet. But it's only Tuesday morning, so there's time.
Yeah, you'll get your mojo back. You won't be as disappointed in another day or two.
I'm fine. I'm processing the disappointment. I'm processing.
Did Vegas Haw have money on Team USA last night? Is your opinion being influenced by investing in that game? Because I invested in Canada earlier in the day with a Connor McDavid anytime goal.
Shouldn't that have been
plus money?
Shouldn't that have been a lot easier? Canada goes up 4-0. Shouldn't that have been a lot easier?
Well, it goes back to the goaltending that you mentioned, Molly, right?
I mean, That's right.
There is pride. I mean, Sweden hadn't won a game yet. So I think, you know, they went to overtime with both Finland and with Canada in the tournament. So maybe it's just a pride factor for Sweden. I mean, I don't know their roster well enough. I defer to you. I mean, were they playing like it was their gold medal game, David, last night?
They were playing like the team that had not had a regulation victory in the tournament.
So they didn't want to be embarrassed and go home.
Yeah, they played with a sense of hockey urgency.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, does that, while Team USA was playing to not get hurt and they still got hurt.
They got hurt, yeah.
That's the problem. That's my problem.
You're playing scared almost?
I need to get past that.
Playing not to get hurt?
But I think that really kicked in. I mean, they scored a goal like 35 seconds into the game. I think that when they got hurt is when that kind of kicked in. They were not going to get hurt again. You will not hurt us again.
So is Brady Tkachuk, have they specified exactly what it was?
No.
Did he hit his head?
I don't believe he did. When I was watching it, it looked like he hit his back. And then when he reacted to it, it was like his disc acted up or something. It was weird. It's like he just hit the goal in the right way to hurt him.
As long
right?
as it doesn't interfere with his ability to drop the gloves on Thursday night.
Well, the thing is, he plays really hard. I don't know him very well just because I don't watch a lot of Ottawa Senators hockey. And I felt, from my perspective, it was kind of a coming out party for him against Canada. I mean, he was hard as nails.
Well, for people unaware, how good he can be, how good he is. That was definitely a big dose of Brady Tkachuk, and you saw all that he brings to the Ottawa Senators, whose games we never watch.
Never.
Or talk about. We had Frank Cervelli on yesterday, and he talked about how good he is, and I had to ask him about the trade rumors that he addressed Frank in December, but there's no way the Ottawa Senators were going to let go of him.
You don't trade.
But at the end of his contract, as he pointed out, his brother moved on after playing in relative obscurity in Canada, and then and now with the Panthers, maybe Brady Tkachuk does a similar thing at the end of his deal. But yeah, great player, great asset. You wonder if he's going to be 100% on Thursday night when they have to be as physical as they were last Saturday. And I don't know yet how healthy they'll be, so I don't know how to feel about the game.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, they're it was so funny because he said before this game, before he was hurt, he said that Matthew Tkachuk, his brother Matthew, would definitely play. There was no way he would miss that game against Canada.
Yeah.
So, and they held him out of the game to kind of ensure that, right? To make sure, because those guys play at a pretty high level.
3-3-1, wasn't Kane overlooked because he's not playing well? Why would you bring in a player because of what they were, not what they are? Okay, that was November. If you're paying attention to the Red Wings, they have gotten hot, and Kane is a part of that.
But he is a one-way player. He's not a two-way player.
Yeah.
Never has been.
He's been a one-way player his entire career.
No, I said never has been.
And never you could have used a one-way player last night to figure out a way to get the biscuit in the basket.
Right. But, I mean, you don't anticipate you're going to have all
plus respect.
Injuries,
out of respect.
You don't kind of short shrift your defense because of that, right? I mean, they just got one injury too many in the forward line.
Yeah, I just think they could have used somebody who could have been a creative goal scorer in a team that in a game that didn't matter.
Right, game that didn't
did
matter.
Not matter.
Didn't matter.
Those hockey players leave it on the ice, but last night didn't matter.
Wow. There's a lot of anger here. There's
no,
a,
not anger. Not anger.
A simmering
just observation, man. It's
upset.
It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction.
Well, I mean, they're in good shape if everybody's healthy. So they're in the final, and they knew that going in. So you're right. I mean, it's probably disappointing that that they didn't perform as well as
Canada's big guns scored. McKinnon twice, Crosby empty netter. Which I don't mind that.
Empty netter,
entitled.
It was 4-3,
yeah,
and then he won the game at the end.
Because Finland went crazy, scoring two in the final minutes.
It was crazy.
And that was nuts. And McDavid had a goal and an assist. And his goal, every time he scores, it's like highlight reel stuff. He just is, he's explosive. So explosive. That's been so much fun to see him play at such a high level.
Let's
during
hope
this
that
tournament.
Doesn't
yeah, right.
carry on through
Let's
Thursday.
Hope he has upper body soreness.
There you go.
Or whatever.
Or lower body soreness.
Either.
It's one or the other.
Body soreness is fine. Okay. Upper or lower. Or
go.
Both.
Pretty interesting, though. It was a pretty good game.
Loved hearing Eddie Olczyk.
Did you see they got a lot of people watching, too? That was really good.
4.4 million on Saturday night.
Pretty good.
That was the biggest non-Stanley Cup audience since 2019. It tells you that there is an appetite for elite hockey or good hockey.
It also tells you that there is nothing going on and that the NBA is not holding up their end. When you have an All-Star game and the topic the next day is how do we make the All-Star game better, you know that whatever you attempted, and they did make a run at it, they tried. They tried something different, and it fell flat on its face.
Yeah.
Hard to watch when people actively aren't playing defense.
Yeah, well, there's no
would
commitment
the defense,
to intensity.
Would it improve if it was USA against the world with some of those very tall Europeans block a shot? Or
one would think, but I'm not sure about the NBA. I just think it's a different dynamic. It's a different approach. You would hope that there would be some element of pride involved, but I just don't think it's the same.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty unwatchable.
How do you think Matas Puzelis feels?
I think he feels hopefully motivated to restore his good name over the final 27 games of the season. It was a tough
weekend for him. A lot of people saying that Cooper Flagg could beat him one-on-one. A lot of people. That was the reaction of a lot of people.
I don't think I talked to a lot of people or anybody who said that. I think that was you making that up, taking a shot at Matas.
No,
what do you have against Matas?
I got nothing against Matas. He didn't go there to lose, but he apparently didn't go there to win.
I wish he would have just done the most makeable dunk first.
Yeah.
And then he would have built some momentum, some confidence. When you miss, when you can't execute the most difficult dunk, and you're trying to make an impression, I just think it rattled him a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
elaborate.
No, we really don't want to elaborate. There wasn't much to elaborate on. I think he's a guy who probably got some confidence and played out in the Rising Stars game. Did not have a great night at the dunk contest, but probably just an honor for him to be there. And overall, he's got to look at it as a positive experience. He had something to do on All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, he sure did.
He didn't...
added something
and he got out of town, which this was a good weekend to get out of town.
Yeah.
Because this weather stinks.
Well, I mean, it's just cold.
That stinks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the cold. I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, because Dustin is the master of following this stuff. I believe this is the last, like, really serious week, right? This is the last week of winter, sub-zero winter.
Yeah, let's hope.
Didn't you say it's going to warm up next week?
It's supposed to be almost 40, I think, by the weekend.
Well, that's a lot better than it's been.
I think it's 40 next week. I'm not sure about the weekend. That would be fine.
40 next week sounds good.
This is the last week of winter.
Like Sunday. Mentally.
That's what I mean.
Like mentally. Sunday is, you know, the end of the weekend. If you want
right.
To mentally,
I'm...
Yeah, this is the last, I hope, really freezing
35 week. Degrees high on Sunday.
See?
That's good.
That sounds like... that. Honestly, I might get in my Speedo and go get some rays.
That's a really bad image, the visual.
Let's hope it stays good.
That's really... I hope that we can leave our listeners
the old, the old sun's out, buns out. Here comes Mulligan.
Well, all right. Maybe I won't wear the Speedo then, if you're insisting.
Is that the way you would clear your sidewalk in your Speedo? Is that
There's no need to if it's 35. I don't know if you're aware, but once it's over 32 degrees, things warm up.
Things warm up. But
by the way, clear your sidewalk, just a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Got some people near the house.
Oh, really? What's the problem?
Well, I just don't think it's necessary to clear the sidewalk.
But Dustino, the time to clear the sidewalk is pretty much over. You needed to have that done.
Yeah, now it's frozen.
Exactly.
You're not going out today.
Going to do it because it would take too much effort.
I wouldn't recommend your neighbors go out and do that today. You're going to risk frostbite.
Well, but I would recommend them doing it when everybody else is doing
it. It's a responsible neighbor.
The other one's not doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good idea.
But you can't really hold them... I mean, they should have already done it. Fair enough.
They've got four kids living in the house that all are more than capable of using a shovel.
I'm being really specific
now. Oh, wow. I hope they're not listening.
I hope they're not listeners.
Dustin's going to go home and find some frozen eggs.
We just lost a family.
You're lucky. Eggs are so expensive.
Yeah, expensive.
That's right. Yeah.
Frozen eggs. Okay, I didn't know what direction this conversation had taken.
The problem is if you threw an egg at a window in this weather, it would break the window.
Yeah, it's bad.
The egg would freeze en route.
Yeah, be a responsible neighbor. Clear your walk. Clear your driveway.
Not now. You should have been responsible. I would not recommend going out in this. At least
bundle up
this morning.
Tough it up, Buttercup.
Well, I'm here. I did toughen up. I got in here. I don't know. I didn't open up the conversation about the weather. I wasn't so peeved with my hockey that I complained about the weather.
You think that's it? You think I'm just looking for something to talk about other than hockey?
No, I think
I'm so mad about last night.
I think you
I'm not mad about last night. I'm disappointed.
I know, but
I'm disappointed.
I think it was a lot of kind of, I hate to say it, but there might have been some management going on there.
35 seconds into the game, they score. Yeah. Great. And then they don't score again.
When did Brady Tkachuk go down? Wasn't that early? See, I'm just saying. It seems to me he left the game in the first period, didn't he? And he came back and sat on the bench, and then you didn't see him much.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. And if they win, nobody will remember Monday night.
No one.
And if they lose, we'll wonder when they lost their edge.
We'll get into all this. We've got the pick six next. We're going to pick apart all the stories of the day. You know what we need more of is kind of hot stove league. We need to find out what's at spring training, and we need to imagine that we're out there. Although it's apparently cold enough that Luis Robert Jr. isn't going to really go hard.
It's cold in Arizona. It looked pretty nice.
Well, he said that he wasn't going to go until the cold was gone. I don't know if he meant in Chicago or in Arizona. I think Arizona's got pretty good year-round weather.
Texter says 48 degrees in Tampa.
Oh.
He's freezing.
Oh, well, he must be going through a living hell.
Wow.
48 degrees.
That's
luxury.
That would be balmy here right now.
Oh, my God. It's
going to be cold today, but let's say it's winter in Chicago.
But it's like -1 feels like -19. Did you see that? Like that? You don't want that.
What is this feels like temperatures?
I think it's. I think it has to do with wind chill and all that stuff. Maybe
wind chill. That's what we used to just call it growing up. Just wind chill. Not feels like.
Feels like.
Feels like I want to stay in bed.
Feels like the first time. Feels like the very first time. All right, we got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. Are you embittered to read how the Cubs' connection of GM Craig Breslow with counsel from senior advisor to Fenway Sports Group Theo Epstein was essential to the Red Sox signing of Alex Bregman? If Jed Hoyer loses his job, was Theo part of the problem, or were the Cubs never paying the kind of dough Bregman received?
Yeah, I don't think the Cubs were going to pay that 10 extra million a year, even if Theo had told them they should. I just don't think it was in the cards. The fact that they have Theo back in Boston is upsetting. I mean, honest to God, when I had read that he was going to be a senior advisor to the Fenway Sports Group, I thought maybe they'd use him to work on Liverpool, you know, something like that. I wasn't really thinking about him as an aide to Craig Breslow. And again, that's his job, right? He's a special counsel, senior counsel, and he's gonna do his advising to the Red Sox. I just think it's kind of rough that, you know, his buddy Jed, his former number one, is on his way out the door, maybe. And, you know, he's got to feel like he's fighting to get as much money as he can. He's fighting to get the right players, and he's now fighting his old boss to try to figure out how to spend all the cabbage. It's just, you know, yes, it's embittering because Theo came here, built up a team, and they won a World Series. And you always think of the kind of magic of Theo. And I don't know that, you know, if you advise the owner, hey, you better spend money on this one. If you advise Craig Breslow, I think I can get him to spend some money. I think that's a wonderful aid to have with your baseball organization. So Theo's the best. And once again, he can take a bow.
Not nearly as embittered as I was when I first learned of this news, because I did not know that that was Theo's job title at the moment, as a senior advisor and part owner, also part owner of the Fenway Sports Group, which owns the Red Sox of Major League Baseball and Liverpool FC of the English Premier League, among other
Penguins
properties.
Too. Pittsburgh Penguins, I believe.
Pittsburgh Penguins?
I think they're in there.
Okay. I want to make sure we said Pittsburgh and peanuts. I still, you know, there's something up with Theo Epstein leaving the Cubs. There's an untold story waiting to be told or needed to. I want some backstory on that. How does one walk away from $10 million because he knows that he's no longer going to get to operate with hundreds of millions of dollars? So did was Theo upset with the Ricketts both for business and other reasons? Or did he need a break? Because two years ago, he was like special assistant to Joe Torre in Major League
Baseball,
right?
You say baseball.
With the pitch clock.
That's also and all that.
On his
baseball.
Wikipedia page now. Yeah. So I am not embittered because this is his job. If he was just, I honestly thought that Theo was just having a gap year, was sitting out. And so he just like, oh, by the way, hey, Craig.
Like he's 21 and confused?
Well, yeah. When you've made $10 million a year for X amount of years, you can do that at 51. Have okay. A gap year. Before now, I buy a baseball team, I'll sit out.
There are no gap years in the life of Theo Epstein. He makes a difference, I think, each and every season. This is the key paragraph out of The Athletic. And we're talking to Jen McCaffrey at 9 o'clock. It'll be a good interview. As he had done for the pursuit of Soto, Epstein once again emerged as an important voice in the efforts to land Bregman. As an experienced executive who once hired Breslow to join his baseball operations team with the Cubs, Epstein has a steady hand that proved valuable for Boston's comparatively inexperienced chief baseball officer. Epstein advised Breslow throughout the process. This is mentors helping pupil. This is Theo making himself valuable as ever. This is Theo in the next chapter. And this makes you feel, if anything, I don't know about embittered, but it does make you a little more wistful. And you wonder about when he left Chicago and he was ready for the next challenge. And everybody kind of understood why. I think we did understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a lot of money, it was time for him to move on. And he had done what he came here to do. But if you wanted to keep him indefinitely, and I think that would have been a great idea, you should have offered him a stake in the team.
Well, that was never going to happen.
Should have let him have a stake in the team to be part owner of the Cubs. And that would have kept him in town. That would have kept him in Chicago. That would have helped the Cubs not be in a situation where Jed Hoyer, his buddy and one-time running mate, was entering a season full of all the uncertainty that it possesses. So this was not embittering, but it made you nostalgic. And I think that good for the Red Sox. They got their guide. Theo's doing his job, and so is Craig Breslow.
What was the other part of that question?
That's the voice of John Heyman. He'll be here at 7:25. What did you think of White Sox outfielder Lourdes Robert Jr.'s response to trade rumors and his answer
It is difficult to think that way, especially when you've been with an organization throughout your whole career, and knowing that it's never come an end to that. But at the same time, you have to understand that this is a business, and there is not much that you can do about it.
That's Luis Roberts Jr., interpreter, out at White Sox spring training as their full squad was out getting together yesterday for the first time. So, do you think this makes it more or less likely that he's going to be traded?
Well, Luis Roberts Jr. said he wants to play for the White Sox forever, and those are the kind of things that you say when you are asked about being traded, and you don't want to, you can't really control something, so you say whatever comes to mind, and that's fine. What really stood out, though, was his plan of attack. And that is really the wrong way to describe it, because his plan to pause. I think when Luis Roberts Jr. described why he may take it easy to avoid injury because it's cold until it warms up and all the things, I don't think that's the mindset that you want him to be in, even though you understand every player's got to have that mindset. I don't think that's reading the room well, because this is a guy who the one criticism you have, besides his really step backward last year, was that he is the guy that takes it easy too often, and you don't know what kind of effort level you're going to get. So when he said that, you're like, boy, that needs no interpretation. There's like a groan, and I hope that he plays hard, has success, and then the Sox get the most out of him. That's the only reason to play him early. If you can trade him during spring training, I think you maybe try, but you're selling low. You're taking a gamble. And now it sounds like it's a risk, because if he thinks he's already trying to avoid injury, those who try to avoid injury typically encounter it. So I don't know if that's a great plan or mindset to take into the season.
Right, and the idea that he also went on to say that he's going to take it a little bit easy when it's cold out because he doesn't want to pull anything. I mean, that's just, you're White Sox of 2025. We don't want to pull anything. I mean, come on. I get why they didn't trade him in the offseason, because they would have been trading him at very low value. Everybody knew what the White Sox were up to. So now you're hoping that a team that's doing well, perhaps in need of a center fielder, then you're trading in a position of power, assuming that he's taking it easy and not pulling anything.
Yeah, I saw that they do a poll of the baseball writers in The Athletic, and they had Dylan Cease as player most likely to be traded. That's 2 years running. And Nolan Arenado was second. And just because no one really thinks of the White Sox, Luis Roberts Jr. finished third, which he might be even more likely, frankly, than others. It's just a question of when, as I think we all know. And that's why he was asked about it, because everyone knows it's a question of when, if not now, then certainly before the trade deadline. I think it's fairly obvious that's the way the Sox are headed. I was bemused by the idea that he's going to have to take it easy in Arizona initially, because, it's cold outside. You got to wait till the sun really kicks in order to make sure you don't pull anything. I also saw that in that list of players down the bottom, Seiya Suzuki. So I didn't know if we'd ever talked about that possibility after they started making this team for this season. I remember talking about it at some point, but not for a while. But he's still a guy people are mentioning. I would think that if he's a good DH, though, why would you do that unless he's super unhappy? But it's just interesting to see that kind of speculation. I feel like it's a fait accompli. I feel like Luis Roberts Jr. will be traded. It's just a question of when.
That's a good question.
When you hear Pete Crow Armstrong say his only two goals this year are winning a Gold Glove and playing in October, do you feel a little bit better about his baseball maturity? And is he one of those players whose flamboyance is just part of the game?
I'd love to be in the Gold Glove conversation again. I think that's a goal I've had for a long time, as I've taken more pride in defense. I'm in a very good National League group of center fielders, so that just adds to the excitement of shooting for that goal. But I mean, if we're talking goals that matter, we got Kyle Tucker now. We got some good arms. We got Carson as a experienced, important position at catcher. So if we're talking important goals, I mean, I want to be a part of this team and play in October.
So PCA, a maturing young baseball player?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't think he's ever had a bad attitude. I don't think he's ever, you know, I thought he improved a lot last year, and I thought he did very well, and I expect big things from him this year. I think, you know, for him, there's so many things he can do really well, and there's, you know, he's got raw speed, which is just an unbelievable quality to have. And I think that for him in his maturation, it's kind of understanding that you do whatever you have to do to get on base and then you can wreak havoc. And I think that there were times last year where you felt like he was trying to power up too much. So if he's willing to, you know, kind of accept and play to his gifts a little bit more, that will land them in the playoffs and that will help him do all the things he wants to do via the glove and the defense. I think he's a great defensive player. And if he changes his mentality a tiny bit, and I'm not saying don't try to swing for the fences, I guess is what I am saying. You know, take what is given you and use your natural gifts. I think he's got limitless potential.
So PCA is hopeful for some Crow-tober. Will we have Craig-tober? That is to be determined.
Crow-tober. I don't think that one's going to stick.
No?
Maybe.
It's a good try.
I'd much rather talk about Pete Crow-Armstrong and his lofty goals of winning the Gold Glove in center field and making the playoffs than about the three blue stars he dyed in his hair. And any comparisons that he wants to make to Dennis Rodman, who was a long time ago, and he wasn't even born when Rodman played his last game. This is the better conversation and topic material for Pete Crow-Armstrong. And that's where I think he is a well-rounded individual. He can entertain, and he tries. And maybe that's his more flamboyant side, and that's who he truly is off the field. But I do think he can be a grinder. He can come across as a baseball lifer and a guy that you do trust to do the right thing and play the right way. And that's, I think, what we hear when he says he wants to win a Gold Glove and then his only other goal is to play in the postseason, because the Cubs have not been in the postseason far too long. So I like this. And we're going to hear a lot from Pete Crow-Armstrong. If there's one guy you know you're going to hear a lot from if he continues to play, it's PCA. He's going to be as vocal as anybody in that clubhouse. And so I think this is a good shift in topic from the hairdo to the focus. More focus, please.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 8:25. And as Bruce asked yesterday, who is the Cubs' backup center fielder? Or how about their backup first baseman? Is this team in danger of breaking camp heading to Japan next month without quality depth?
Yes, they are. I think Bruce was on to one of the more underrated stories or maybe concerns of the Cubs. We talk about 1 through 9 in the batting order and all that they're missing without Bregman and Matt Shaw we're focused on. But the backup center field, when Craig Counsell answered that question yesterday, I think he sounded a little stumped. He mentioned Bruhan. I thought Bruhan was an infielder. And then Kevin, was that Kevin Alcantara?
Correct.
Yep. I don't even know that he's made the team yet, has he? So you have a lot of maybes, a definite maybes, and I think you're assuming good health for all these guys. And I know you have Seiya Suzuki, but that puts who? Ian Happ in center field? You don't want Suzuki patrolling center field, and I don't think Kyle Tucker is going to be that guy. So it's a valid question. As for first base behind Michael Busch, you're assuming he's going to be fine? But there's John Birdie, I suppose. Depth at that position is a problem. If only you would have one who was capable of maybe playing both center field and first base and being an offense. Oh, never mind.
That's a great point, David. That sarcastic ode to one of your favorite ex-Cubs now. But, yeah, Bruhan and Alcantara and Birdie. Now, we've also – one of the other storylines is that the Cubs bench is so much better than it was last year. Which one is it? Are we complaining because we can't figure out who the backup center fielder is and the backup first baseman, or is the bench that much better? I mean, I know my guy, Miles Mastroboni, is no longer here, and I'm good with that, but is it better? What about Nicky Lopez, right? I mean, I'm saying they seem to have a lot of middle infielder depth. You know, I'm more concerned about a backup third baseman, to be brutally honest, than I am about center field, because you could get away with Ian Happ for a week in center field. You could bring up Owen Casey to play one of your corner outfielder spots if you needed to. Who on this roster is your backup third baseman or your third baseman if Matt Shaw can't do the job?
Yeah, I think these are rich man problems. This is... if we're worried about their depth and not their starting positions, that's a good thing. I think that they did replace a lot of their depth players, but we just don't know who the guys taking over are. I think it'll all kind of unfold and, it will become apparent as time goes on who those guys are. And I think they're probably better than the group you had last year, believe it or not. So I get it. You know, there's no Cody Bellinger. There's not a guy that can play a couple different positions, three different positions, and move around to them if you include the DH. But I feel like that's the sort of thing that will kind of reveal itself as the season goes on and as it is necessary. I think the Cubs are in good shape here. I think that what's bizarre to me is they're breaking camp to go to Japan, then they're going back to camp. So who knows what that means. But you're still trying to determine what your roster is, but you got a ton of good players in the minor leagues. And if you ran into like a really serious problem earlier in the year, you would have plenty of time to make some kind of a deal or to bring somebody else in or whatever it might be. You just might have to tap into that list of great young minor leaguers, and I know they're trying to avoid doing that, or to this point they've avoided doing that. So I don't think this is as much of a major concern to me as things like trying to put a lineup together with other teams, right? Just a lineup.
So you're comparing this to the Sox situation?
No, I'm saying if the Sox had these problems, I'd be delighted.
Oh, yeah, I know. But the Sox aren't having 90-win aspirations.
No, they're not
this
having...
This is a 90-win team.
I understand. And as I said, I think that if there's a really serious issue that comes up, they'll have plenty of time to master it. I think the Matt Shaw injury watch is a little bit disconcerting. Just because this is a guy that you're kind of got all your eggs in that basket, and what do you do if he can't start the season? If his oblique issue is worse than imagined? I think that's a real world problem. But this, we just don't know who these guys are yet. As Dustin said, I think they're better than Mastroboni.
It's the right question, and I'm not sure yet.
That is Adam Silver. What does it tell you about the NBA All-Star Game? That the minute it ended, people were attempting to come up with a way to fix it. What about it had your memorable moment other than Steph Curry's MVP and LeBron James' late opt-out? LeBron James, do you like the idea of USA versus the world?
I got to tell you, that was an awful All-Star Game. It was just god-awful, and I understood that they tried something different. I think part of the problem was that it was like the last event on TNT, so they wanted to pay homage to themselves. That was super weird. That was like way too much. didn't enjoy that very much. And I'm sure those are really hardworking people. And but it was almost like they got back at the NBA, frankly, for getting thrown out. But I did not enjoy the All-Star game. Are we going to talk about this LeBron thing? Wasn't that bizarre? I mean, it's one thing for a guy to be hurt, but to opt out, like, when did he opt out? It would seem like it was hours before the game. It wasn't like he gave them any option whatsoever. And there are tons of people that would love to have been there and been a part of it. So it was just, that was super bizarre to me. I also wonder about the Lakers moving forward, everybody getting all pumped up about the possibility. You know, Luka's calf muscle is still a problem. He's only playing 23 minutes a game. He's still hurting, and now LeBron's ankle? Come on, give me a break. I think that USA against the world might be the only fix just because it's something different. I don't know that it'll work. I think the problem is that, you know, everyone says throw money at it, but how much money can you throw at the thing? Don't they make enough money? Does that take away some of the power of the NBA Cup? I mean,
you can't
come
do
on
that.
Now. Yeah, you can't keep
threaten the NBA
just
Cup.
Throwing money
the
at
sanctity
the
sanctity of the NBA Cup must
Thank
be preserved.
You, buddy. I'm glad you appreciate it.
I mean, LeBron. I mean, if this didn't end the LeBron James Michael Jordan argument, I mean, nothing will. I mean, Michael Jordan never did that. He never sat out. He played every minute that he possibly could, every single game. I've got an ankle and a foot. And then he's talking about, oh, I can't wait to get back to practice and see how the ankle foot is when I practice against, you know, my new teammate. And give me a break. They needed the NHL to give them a blueprint, the NBA. I mean, this is not like high concept. NBA versus the world. USA, we've had the Olympics. There's like a documentary about to drop on Netflix where Kevin Durant is crying about how much it meant to him to play for Team USA. And all day yesterday, if you listened to radio yesterday, all you heard about was you got to incentivize the NBA play. Are you kidding me?
Please.
Are you here's an idea. The next time the contract comes up, NBC, which is now back in the NBA game, and the four-letter network and the three-letter network. How about this? I saw on page 6 that you, the NBA, Adam Silver, would like $1 billion to go into the contract for the right for All-Star Saturday night. We're going to skip that part. Because you're already getting the TV money that you NBA players are getting is part of your incentive to play the game. And Anthony Edwards, I don't want to be the face of the NBA, so I'll sit out too. Like, give me a break.
NBC may bring back a one-on-one type format.
They're saying that.
They may spice up the dunk by getting stars there. They'll fix Saturday night. The game itself is you can't make people get more pride. It's a very difficult thing and players to reach. And maybe U.S. versus the world is not a novel concept, but it is a good one. So you have to try something because this is a disgrace. And the only thing at this point, and I'm glad Mully weighed in today, but by now the only thing that is more tired than watching the NBA All-Star game is talking about it.
Different question on a different topic.
Voice of Mike Florio, I cannot wait for this interview today, 8:44. What would you advise the Vikings do this week as soon as today, the first day the NFL teams can apply that franchise tag? Would you tag Sam Darnold for $40 million, or would you roll the dice on J.J. McCarthy, the local guy made good?
This decision will have ramifications in the division. I think you have a lot of faith in Kevin O'Connell. I think you have a lot of hope in J.J. McCarthy, but he's an unknown. And you do know about Sam Darnold that he disappointed you in two of the biggest games of the season last year, and maybe he plateaued. But I also think NFL teams like certainty. And Sam Darnold, I think, gives you certainty in the regular season. And if he puts you back in a position to take your chances in the playoffs next year, and that's your best hope, you tag him. You tag him. You find yourself willing to pay that. You hopefully tag him until you find time to renegotiate an extension, but you do not let him hit the open market. You don't let him consider that. You make sure that you protect yourself at the game's most important position. And I would, even though there are cap ramifications, I would tag him to buy time to extend him. And I would go in that direction. And you know that attrition is part of football. And I would probably do that. Maybe you shop J.J. McCarthy, maybe not. But I do think that certainty is probably going to win out here over potential. I think you're going to take production over potential.
I have really mixed emotions on how to answer this question. Is it the Bears fan in me, or is it, you know, me getting to play NFL GM? I mean, I think it's career suicide as a GM to guarantee Sam Darnold $40 million. He's just a placeholder at best. Here's what you do. You invested the 10th overall pick in last year's draft in J.J. McCarthy. If the kid's healthy, I don't know what his leg's like. I don't have that information. But assuming that he's on track to participate in the offseason program, then why in the world did you draft the guy? Because that's also career suicide. Drafting someone 10 and not playing him? So here's what you do. You let Darnold walk, and then you follow the Brett Favre plan. Okay? So Favre went from the Packers to the Jets to the Vikings. So now Aaron Rodgers goes from the Packers to the Jets to the Vikings, and he's your placeholder if J.J. McCarthy can't do it, because there's no way anybody's giving him anywhere near $40 million. And that's a better story.
Okay, what would I advise the Vikings to do today? That answer would be nothing. They needn't do anything today. They got until March 4th, right? So they don't have to overreact or react. First of all, I would hope that they've already talked to Sam Darnold, and they've talked to him about what kind of contract he's looking for. The only way that they can be assured of keeping him is with $40 million for 1 year. If he wants to leave and he doesn't realize what they've done for him, then you let him walk and you talk to Daniel Jones. You just go next in line and, hey, we'd love to have you here. We'd love to work with you, et cetera. Do the same thing you did with Sam Darnold. I think the problem is J.J., local guy made good, had to have like a secondary surgery after his first surgery. So that is worrisome. I just don't know where his health is at or when he's up and running. But Dustin's right. You invested a high draft pick on that kid, and he's your quarterback of the future. The question is whether it's this year or next year. So I would not spend $40 million on Sam Darnold. I would, the lesson I would take out of that is that my coach is good enough and my system is good enough that we can coach somebody up and we can get them going. And you know, if Daniel Jones wants to take a 1 year, $10 million deal, try the whole process back with him. See if you can put healing hands on him and help him in the way you did Darnold. But if I'm Sam Darnold, I might be willing to take $20 million to stay in Minnesota with their receiving core, with their offensive scheme, and some good things going on. And then you do it again, and then you can sign the big money deal. The problem is he's not going to do that. He knows that they have to pay him 40 to keep him. So that's kind of what he's looking for on the open market. And there are desperate teams out there that would probably do something like that. So I think there's a lot of decisions to be made. Could you tag him and then trade him? Could you, you know, and I don't know that you even can anymore. I don't know what the rules are. I'm just saying, I would have an off-season plan, and I would have already kind of made some moves, but you got until March 4th to have these conversations, and I wouldn't, if I wanted to just let him go, then I wouldn't do it till March 4th. Okay, that is our pick six. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Hall on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Do you like the idea of a rematch of USA Canada in Boston Thursday night? How many fights are you predicting?
I love the idea of a rematch. I think it's what everybody expected and certainly is looking forward to now. I don't know that I like the idea, given the U.S. being banged up, and they may be compromised in the way that Canada was the first time around when Canada played without Makar, and that definitely was a void. Now the U.S. going into the game, you don't know about the health of the Tkachuks. You don't know about the health of Austin Matthews. They've got a couple days to rest. I don't think they're going to bring anybody in. There's not going to be any dramatic call to somebody to come in like Canada had to do to get a guy off the beach in Cabo, which was funny. I think this will be as intense as Saturday night. Be hard to duplicate and recreate the fight scene at the beginning. Even though they may try, it might seem a little contrived. I don't know that I expect that, and I don't know if I'd want to see it because of what happened. It already happened once, and I think if you try to do it again, maybe it's a bit much. But maybe in this rivalry, anything is possible. I do look at what happened yesterday with Canada and seeing Crosby and McKinnon and McDavid all score. It just reminds you how explosive they are and how their stars are maybe bigger, and you don't want that to be the case if you're rooting for Team USA. So I think that you need the collective team effort. You need everybody healthy, and it's going to be a fascinating bit of hockey theater.
Well, I think you have to set it at 0.5, over-under 0.5 fights. I don't think you'll be able to recreate Saturday night even with one. And if it does happen on Thursday night, what happened on Saturday night, I think it'll be flipped. It will be Canada trying to set a tone, trying to get into the heads on the road in front of the fans in Boston. They'll have to try to flip the script. This is the gold medal game, or whatever you want to call it. This is the championship game. The other thing to keep in mind, as fun as Saturday was, and this is to your point, David, from earlier in the show, as fun as Saturday night was, the three fights, and maybe it was too many, but the Tkachuk brothers, you can connect the dot and say that now that these two Tkachuk brothers are not on the ice last night and questionable to be on the ice on Thursday, and they say everything they want, you know, in their suits, and my brother wouldn't miss this game for the world, and yada, yada, yada. If they don't play on Thursday, or if they're not up to speed on Thursday, then what happened on Saturday doesn't matter. And we will forget about that as a fandom as quick as the calendar turns. So, great. You won the fight. You won 3-1 Saturday night in Canada. Don't disrespect our anthem. Yada, yada, yada. But now you got to finish the deal. Because otherwise, Saturday night means nothing, and USA Hockey is not back.
It's a great attitude.
I find this really interesting because I guess the Boston Globe reported that Charlie McAvoy had to go to the hospital, that he left the game and went directly to the hospital. But they said that they still haven't made any moves at all about adding another player. So that would seemingly indicate that everybody's going to be back, or is today the day that you watch for that kind of thing? They got a couple of days here to get ready for this game. I do not believe there will be any fights in the game, and I think that it's good, Dustin, to set the line around there, 0.5. I think it was kind of flukish that there were three fights as quickly as there were three fights, and it's kind of the bad blood has been spilled, and now it's win time, and I think both countries really want to win this game, and I think that it should be. The fact that it's in Boston, that should be kind of fun. I wonder how much the booing in Montreal helped the U.S., believe it or not, getting booed during the national anthem, all that stuff. That might have been an aid. It'll be curious. I'm curious to see how these teams go at it. And, you know, I thought that the U.S. played better defensively in that game, and looked really good in terms of just the way that they were helping the goalie and the way they were getting the puck out of there, keeping it off their end. I just thought they played a significantly better game, and it was a really close game. And then they got the empty netter at the end. I'm not too worried about the injury stuff because I think people play hurt all the time, and I expect these guys to play hurt. I really do. And I worry that Brady Tkachuk, that he might have just hit something. He might have had an injury already. I don't know. But that it just didn't look that serious. And then you realize, oh, boy, like he's definitely pretty banged up. So I'm really looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a titanic tussle. How about that?
How about that?
312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
I really think that was the vibe that we all got, was those players appreciated so much showing off our product to so many people that tuned in to see that rivalry game, which was, I don't know, it's got to be a classic game. Oh, top five. For sure, in USA Hockey history, mm-hmm. That's a top five moment. You got the 80 Olympic team, you got the 96 win, you maybe got the women's win in 98. USA Hockey's had some big events, but that one on Saturday night. And Thursday's is set up to be another one, not just for USA Hockey, but for the hockey world. And it's a preview of the Olympics. I'm getting all sweaty here.
Buddy, you are
fired up.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's Cammy Granado's brother.
Whose brother?
Cammy Granado.
Okay. Yeah, Tony. Yeah, Tony Granado.
Cammy's brother. I'm just joking around.
He's highly accomplished. She's highly accomplished. Yes. What a hockey family.
Yes.
Hockey royalty in Chicago.
No question about
and
it.
And Tony does a terrific job at the Chicago Sports Network. You couldn't ask for a nicer guy. And last night he was on. That was a really good group, I felt like, in the studio for TNT. And you had a lot of fascinating personalities and opinions. But Tony Granado really being able to articulate what it means, what this moment means to a lot of people who wear the Team USA sweater, if you will. And he's highly accomplished, and that was insightful.
Yeah. If they finish the job on Thursday, which a lot of people believe they can, they already beat Canada in Canada. I get it. I understand all the injuries. But they played their rear ends off. And if they can do it again, that's a huge moment for the United States, especially heading into the Olympics next year. The Winter Olympics are in Italy next year. What a wonderful treat if the U.S. team can beat Canada twice in a tournament, win a championship, and kind of set up what would be another kind of bloodbath type game in the Olympics.
Won't be easy. You wonder how healthy they'll be. Today we'll get some more clarity on the health of the Tkachuks, maybe with McAvoy. Charlie McAvoy, interesting because he is the son-in-law of Mike Sullivan, the coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so
Now he's got an upper body injury, but the fact that he went to the hospital,
what's he getting? X-rays? Getting admitted? It's just
getting a brain scan. I don't know.
Boy.
I mean, that's what goes through your head. Make sure everything's copacetic.
Yeah, that's interesting because the human interest element of that story was really fun because it was Mike Sullivan was a grandpa because recently Charlie McAvoy's wife gave birth, and that was the talk going into the tournament. And he's a very popular figure in Boston, obviously. And now he might be unavailable. You wonder how quickly they can get somebody in if they need to do that.
Right, right. And the fact that they're not working on it makes you feel like they already
not working on it to our knowledge.
That was my caveat. I think that if they were working on it, we wouldn't be told. I think that maybe they're waiting to have a surprise of sorts, right?
Yeah.
You make moves when you have to, not when it's convenient for the opposition.
Yeah, they might be waiting for some information. So we will wait and see. Day full of news and preparation, all eyeing toward Thursday night. Yeah. And that's going to be a big one.
Oh, it's going to be as big a hockey game as we've seen in a long time. Maybe in a week. 312-644-6767. We're going to talk some baseball next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.